Welcome to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast, a weekly conversation about all things mental health, personal development, and all the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. To get more information and valuable resources, check out the website at therapyforblackgirls.com. And while I hope you love listening to and learning from the podcast, it is not meant to be a substitute for a relationship with a licensed mental health professional. Hey, y'all. Thanks so much for joining me for session 53 of the podcast. This week, I wanted to take the opportunity to talk about another topic that has been getting lots more attention in recent years: narcissism. You've likely run across lots of articles titled things like 5 ways to know if your ex is a narcissist. So I wanted to make sure we all had accurate information to address this issue. Today, I am joined by my friend and colleague, Dr. Natalie Jones. Dr. Jones is a licensed professional clinical counselor and a postdoctoral psychologist. She currently has a private practice called Lifetime Counseling and Consulting in Oakland, California, where she specializes in working with women who have been in emotionally and psychologically abusive relationships with narcissists, as well as with individuals who were previously incarcerated for various crimes. Dr. Jones also works for the California Department of Corrections and specializes in providing individual and group counseling and assessments to prison inmates who have committed various offenses, with a specialization in working with sex offenders. Dr. Jones also has a podcast called A Date with Darkness, which specializes in providing education and tips from healing from narcissistic relationships. Dr. Jones received her master's in clinical counseling psychology from the Chicago School of Professional Psychology in Chicago, Illinois, and her doctorate in clinical psychology from the California School of Professional Psychology in San Francisco, California. Dr. Jones and I discussed why narcissism is much more than just being selfish, the criteria someone would have to meet to be diagnosed with narcissistic personality disorder, ways to take care of yourself if there is someone with narcissism in your life, and she shared all of her favorite resources. We would love for you to share your thoughts with us on social media while you're listening, so please use the hashtag TBGInSession to join the conversation. Here's my chat with Dr. Jones. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Nat.
Hi, Joy. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so I am very excited that you were able to join us today, because this has been a topic that a lot of people have requested. And I feel like I say that every week, but definitely a lot of people have a lot of people have asked about this whole topic of narcissism, right? Ooh. We hear a lot of conversation about it, especially it feels like this year. There are a lot of articles and things written about it. So can you give us a definition of what narcissism is and how that is different from maybe just being selfish or self-absorbed?
So yeah, I can definitely break it down for you, because we have the clinical definition, right, which is what you and I would use, because as clinicians, we go by the diagnostic statistical and treatment manual, which is called the DSM-5. So we go by that clinical diagnosis, and versus society, who now has this new pop culture diagnosis of narcissism. So I'll break down what the actual true definition of, you know, narcissistic personality disorder, or rather what the characteristics are according to the clinical point of, which is what our term, our frame of reference is, which is, you know, what you want to look for is a grandiose sense of importance. So someone who thinks that they are better than everyone else, or they are higher up the chain or above, or almost godlike, as opposed to everyone else. They typically fantasize about having power, success, control, or being excessively brilliant or beautiful. They also fantasize about ideal love, like having the perfect lover. They believe that they are special, so they are more special than anyone else. They can only be associated with people who are of a high status, so people that are, you know, ranking right up there with the president, or just like, you know, they just kind of, they've got to be up there, and I only associate myself with people that are this good. I don't associate myself with lowly common people. They like to be excessively admired. Also, the one piece that stands out is that they're very entitled and extremely manipulative. They lack empathy or the ability to sympathize with other people or their emotions or their situation. The other thing, too, is that they often have a lot of jealousy or envy over other people or other people's situations or other people's material things or material wealth. Another common theme with folks who have narcissistic personality disorder is that they are arrogant, and you express rage, which is different than anger, but it's an extreme form of being self-destructive or just destructive in general, where they just kind of want to obliterate everything in their path, and it's an extreme emotion, and and so that's the clinical form, that's a clinical definition of narcissistic personality disorder. When we're talking about society, Joy, we are talking about people who believe that someone is arrogant, or someone is just being manipulative, or someone is just being a jerk, typically when they feel like that, or they feel like, oh, this person used me and they got rid of me like I was, and they treated me like I was nothing, or maybe they were verbally and emotionally abusive to me. And so that person was very narcissistic, or that person was very self-centered and they didn't consider me. And so when someone says, my ex-lover, my ex-husband, my ex-wife was narcissistic, that's typically what they are referring to.
Okay, so just so that people are on the same page, for the purposes of this conversation, we will actually be talking about people who have actually been diagnosed or meet at least some criteria for people with narcissistic personality disorder. Correct. We're not so much referring to like the pop culture term narcissism.
Correct.
So as you were talking, Nat, you describe lots of different characteristics that, right or wrong, have been attributed to millennials, right? So this whole idea of entitlement, and everything is about me and I am special and I'm the most beautiful. You know, people often describe them as the gold star generation because they got a star for participating and there were no losers kind of thing. And so can you talk about like any research or anything you know related to, like, are we seeing more of a diagnosis of NPD, which is, you know, kind of what we kind of refer to it as, in millennials?
You know, honestly, I don't think so. Joy, just to answer your question, all of us have elements of narcissism, right? And narcissism, what a lot of people don't realize is it actually runs in like a range or a scale. So there's people at the low end, and then there's people at the high end of the scale. And only actually about 2% of the population of people can be classified or are diagnosed, I should say, with NPD. And other people are seen to have narcissistic characteristics. As of right now, I don't have any studies on me that I can quote, but that's just been in the work that I've done, in the research that I've done, in the work that I do in corrections and things like that, when I'm gathering educational materials and things like that. That's just what I've come across. And it's also been in my work experience that actually a low percentage of people have narcissistic personality disorder, but there's actually a higher percentage of people that have narcissistic traits. So what you will find is people that have a number of the traits that I've mentioned, but don't necessarily meet all of the criteria of narcissistic personality disorder, or they're falling much lower on the spectrum. If I could rate it on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of narcissistic traits, maybe they have 1, and then on the higher end, they may have 8, 9, or 10, something along those lines, if that makes sense.
Okay, that's good information there, because I did not know that there was a scale. So of course, you know, we're talking about the fact that like 2% is a very, very low percentage, right? So It's very likely that most people have not actually come into contact with somebody who is diagnosed with NPD, but that a lot of us likely have experience with people who have maybe a significant numbers of the traits.
Correct.
Okay. So what are some factors that might lead to people developing NPD or a significant number of the traits? You mentioned that all of us likely have some narcissistic traits, right. But what kinds of things lead to somebody developing this disorder?
Sure. Narcissistic personality disorder, as well as all of the personality disorders, because I specifically specialize in working with narcissistic personality disorder and antisocial personality disorder. I also do some work with borderline, but antisocial and narcissistic personality disorders are the main two that I work with, especially in corrections. All personality disorders are rooted in trauma. So there's usually some form of trauma behind that. And typically what I see with narcissistic personality disorder is that men are more likely than women to have it. That's not to say that women don't have it, because I have encountered women that do, but men are more likely than women to have it. And also, Joy, that typically folks who do have it, they typically have a parent, and in my experience, more times than not, or more often than not, it's usually the father of that person who also carries or also has that diagnostic criteria as well.
Okay, so trauma is really the main thing that we're looking at when we're thinking about like any of the personality disorder diagnoses.
Trauma, yeah, anytime you're looking at a personality disorder in general, but with NPD, you're typically going to have the trauma piece, and you're also going to have the family predisposition piece as well.
Got it. Okay. Now, something that's interesting, and I think I did know that it's more men that are diagnosed with NPD than women, but it feels like I have seen a lot in terms of like narcissistic mothers. And I'm not thinking of the book. Do you know what book I'm talking about? Like, there's a whole book about like being the daughter of a narcissistic mother.
Yes. And I don't recall who wrote it. I could probably pull it up on my Kindle here.
Yeah, and we'll add it in the resources too. So yeah. But there is a book, and I will add that in the show notes for anybody who's listening. But it's interesting to hear that, you know, the diagnosis really tends to happen in women or men, but that it feels like there is more like conversation about like narcissistic mothers. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I do. I think that, like I said, it does occur in women, but again, it also, you have to think about too, again, the traits. And so I think a lot of times when you're talking about the traits, women are going to be equally as likely as men, but to have the full-blown personality disorder, I typically have experience mostly men with that. And then two, again, it also comes from, it's an intergenerational trauma thing, and that's usually passed down from mom to mom. And also, you know, and this may sound biased, it may sound old worldly or what have you, but typically when we're talking about children wanting to connect with a parent, a lot of people focus on the bond that a child has with their mother. And so there's been a lot more attention to the relationships that children have with their mother as opposed with their fathers. And this doesn't mean that a relationship with your father is not equally as important, but there's just been much more research and much more written about and much more focus on that. And so when something is not right with a mom, or there's a breakdown in the relationship with a mom, there's typically a lot more focus given to that, unfortunately.
That is a very good point, Nan. I hadn't considered that likely we see more written about that because there's more research related to like the relationship between a child and mom.
Right.
Very good point.
Yeah, there's actually, you know, the dad is equally as important. But when you're looking at stuff that's being written, and I'm not saying that there isn't anything that hasn't been written, but what I am saying is there's a plethora of more information written about the mom and what mom has done to me, because mom is supposed to be viewed as more nurturing and the primary caregiver.
So I have often heard, Nat, that people who are narcissistic, everybody else around them knows it besides them, right? Like they may be so much in their own world that would never be something they would claim for themselves. But you will see a lot about like how to deal with the narcissist in your life and all of these different things. And so I'm curious about, like, you did an excellent job of sharing like what the traits were, but what does this look like in real life? Like when you're talking about possibly dating somebody who may have a significant number of narcissistic traits, what kinds of things might you be seeing in that relationship?
Sure, Joy. And I don't know that I necessarily agree that someone who's narcissistic doesn't know, because they, in my experience, a lot of them do know that they lack empathy or they lack certain traits. They just don't care. And it's not a problem for them.
Got it.
You know what I mean? And so they feel like everybody else is more so the problem because you are not rising up to their level to meet their expectations either. So, you know, screw you. And so that's more of what I see. So getting back to your question in terms of the characteristics of what you see, and I don't know if you prefer that I talk about men because your population or the, you not population, I'd stop saying that, but the people who listen to your show are mostly women. So I'll just go ahead and refer to men because I know that you have mostly female listeners here, but recognize and know that this can be used interchangeably. And so one of the ways that we can see how narcissism shows up in our relationships with men, I think the first things to look out for is going to be that, first of all, it's going to be their relationship history. And so usually, typically in my experience in working with folks with personality disorders in general, their patterns with relationships are often chaotic. So there's a lot of dysfunctional relationships. They lack in unstable relationships. The same also applies here for someone who's very narcissistic, and that they have a history of unstable relationships. And what they're typically going to be is what I like to call the white knight or the victim syndrome. So that means that they perceive themselves as running in and saving the day for everybody else. And this is the kind of person that will say, you know, I had to help my baby mama, and I took care of all her bills, and I took care of all the kids and all that kind of stuff, and I did everything, and had it not been for me, they just would have, you know, self-destructed in the middle of the floor or something like that. So they feel like this, again, this is where the grandiosity piece comes in. Like, I'm the person who ran in and saved the day, or they could be the victim. Like, everyone is out to get me. And, you know, and again, how this looks in the relationship piece is like, oh, my ex or my baby mama or whoever, she tried to come out and get me, and she got me fired from my job, and she took all my money, and she did all these things to me, and woe is me, and it's never-ending plight of destruction brought on by someone else. And so everything was done to this person, and it's a miracle that they're even alive, because all this stuff was done to them. The other thing too, that you want to notice, or that you would notice with a narcissistic person, is they like to be admired. They want to be loved by everyone. How this shows up in your relationship, Joy, is that they are going to be looking for you to fall for them immediately. And so this is the type of person that might want to have sex with you on the first date, or they're gonna rush the relationship. So the relationship, you in 2 or 3 months, you might be getting married, you might be moving in, you might be having a baby together. And it's this rush, rush, rush. And it's like this bombardment of love to rush into something. And it is, things are happening so fast, it can make your head spin. And it just feels like one big honeymoon, and it's too good to be true. This is your Prince Charming, and he's the perfect person, and he's doing all these wonderful things for you. And if he's too good to be true, it typically is. So you're going to see that. Another thing that you will see too is a lot of there's an emotional shallowness. And so what this may look like is that there's going to be a lack of intimacy in the relationship. And that doesn't necessarily mean sexual intimacy. That means emotional intimacy. So that means that they don't necessarily want, they're not ever going to be in a position where they feel vulnerable or open to you. They may let you in on some things here and there, but it's not going to be a person where you feel like you completely know this person. In fact, you're going to feel just the opposite. Like, I see this person every day, but I don't truly know who this person is. And the way that they may do this is they may keep certain family members away from you. They may not tell you things about their past, or they're going to lie a lot about their past, so they could be a pathological liar. And another way that they can do that is just try to keep as much from you as possible. So they'll try to get all of the information they can about you from you, but they're not really ever going to be divulging anything with any depth, especially emotional depth, to you. And so that's another sign to look for. Another thing too is that you may also notice that they can turn on a dime and flip into a blind rage or jealous. So this person is going to be extremely jealous of you or people around you and things like that. So they may attempt to try to control who you engage with, or limit those interactions, or become extremely upset over what may seem like it's nothing, and try to, you know, just basically try to maneuver you like a puppet on a string and tell you, well, you shouldn't be talking to this person. Even if it's a family member, they'll try to isolate you from those people so that you can basically be under their thumb and under their control. And so they'll say things about people. She's just jealous of you because you've got X, Y, and Z. You don't need to be talking to her anyway because she's X, Y, and Z. Some things like that are going to be some things that you're going to hear. The other thing too is that the big piece is going to be a manipulation and control. And this could be verbally, that you oftentimes see this financially. So financially, what that looks like is my money is my money and your money is also my money. And so they're basically, they may not be paying bills, or they may not be financially responsible, and they don't ever want to show you how much they're making or go over finances with you. But they expect for you to give them your financial information and access to your finances and things like that. They can also be physically abusive as a way to obtain control. And so another thing that you will also see with a narcissist is the hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is a big element. And what hypocrisy looks like, for example, if you see like a drunk guy on the street, that you're with your partner and you guys see a drunk guy drinking liquor out of a paper bag or whatever, you'll be like, oh, look at that drunk, you know, and just kind of like making a mockery of someone being drunk. And then you're probably thinking to yourself, well, you go home and you get drunk every night. So what are you talking about? You know, you just get drunk at home. So there's some hypocrisy there. I see it a lot in corrections with people who are predators, especially sexual predators. They'll be talking a lot about, you know, I can't be around him. He's a sexual predator and he molested kids and he's this and he's that. Well, you did the same thing. What are you talking about? So there's that big thing with hypocrisy there. I hope I answered your question. I don't want to go too far on.
Oh, no, absolutely, Nat. That was excellent information. And something that I think probably fits into the manipulation category that you talked about is a term that I think we often hear in like regular just stories is gaslighting.
Yes.
So can you talk more about what that is? Because I think we often hear it, but I don't know that people really know like what that means and what it looks like.
Well, yeah, if you think about the term gaslighting, the easiest way that I can tell you is that it's basically like feeling like you're in the twilight zone and you are manipulating somebody to the point where someone is, you're manipulating them psychologically, emotionally, mentally, where they're actually questioning their own sanity and whether or not something happened or whether or not something was done. And you do it in such a way that you are basically trying to dictate a relationship or control a relationship. So again, one of the ways that this is done is, you know, it's a pathological, they're pathological lying, which I think I mentioned before. And so, for example, let's say you catch your boyfriend cheating. He's at the mall, he's kissing some other girl. You walk by and you see him and he, you know, you confront this situation. Oh, it's not what you thought it was. Well, what was it? I was just checking the temperature, you know, whatever. They're just going to make up some blatant lie and say, and then they're going to turn it around on you. Like, well, what were you doing? Why are you cheating? Are you trying to check up on me? Well, you know, you cheated with so-and-so and I saw you texting so-and-so. And then it's just going to turn around into this thing that has nothing to do with what you actually saw. And then at the end of the day, you're going to be like, well, damn, was he actually kissing so-and-so? Like, am I nuts? Like, maybe I was wrong for trying to confront him for kissing another person in the mall. You know, and so there's also going to be that constant, you know, denial that what you saw, what you heard, or what you experienced didn't happen the way you said it happened. And that's essentially what I'm talking about. It's like, it's really this mind game. And they kind of twist these things to make you think it didn't happen. And then, you know, they try to turn the situation around on you. And before you know it, you guys are talking about something totally different than what the conversation started out on. And they may be pulling some things out of your past that you told them in confidence to use against you. Well, you know, you said that you were going through depression. So, you know, I think you're hallucinating as a result of your depression and you're just crazy. And it kind of just wears you down over time. And they just throw that thing in to confuse you. And basically it's just a mass manipulation to turn things around on you and make you think that you're the problem. Whereas you know, they obviously were. And essentially what it is a cheap con.
So Nat, as you were talking, it you know, the word that you used, I think even a couple of times, was like chaos. And it feels like it may be really hard for you to even recognize that this is happening to you, right? Like if you are somebody who is dating someone with significant narcissistic traits, you may not even realize it for a while. Like it feels like there could be so much going on around you that it takes a while for you to even recognize that something like this is happening around you.
Correct.
Yeah. So what kinds of tips or strategies could you offer maybe for someone maybe who has realized, like, okay, I think my partner or a family member does have a significant number of narcissistic traits? Are there any tips or strategies you could offer?
Yeah, I definitely offer a lot of, I have some tips and strategies for that. And so one of the things, of course, I definitely think therapy is number one, because you need someone outside of you to point you in the right direction and say, hey, this person is seriously disturbed. Because sometimes what happens with friends and family members is that they're so charmed by this person that they may not even be able to see objectively, because they've also been sucked into the false facade. And so having a therapist that can actually support you and listen to the situation objectively and point those things out, like this person is seriously disturbed and this is what's going on, just being that voice of reason. And by you just having that awareness and being able to talk about it with a therapist. A therapist can definitely effectively help you navigate those channels. The other thing too I'd like to recommend is doing your own research. We live in the world of Google. Google is great. Google is like my best friend. And for somebody like me, I actually have a Google assistant. So I talk to my phone. My phone finds everything for me. And one of the things that I often recommend is just looking up these things on Google. But also, Amazon is also a great resource in terms of finding books. And so if you ever are wondering about why you do certain things or what is actually happening right now, a great resource that I recommend for people is any book by H.G. Tudor. H.G. Tudor is a self-proclaimed narcissist, and he lays it out beautifully in every single one of his books in terms of the signs that you should look for in terms of being able to spot a narcissist and how you should navigate that relationship, or rather how you should end that relationship. The other thing too, in this again requires a level of self-reflection that I would recommend, is really sitting down and thinking about, why are you drawn to this relationship? What's really keeping you in this circus? You know, is it the fact that you feel obligated because you have kids? Is it the fact that you feel obligated because this is your parent? Is it the fact that you don't like being alone and so therefore you want to be in a relationship with someone by any means necessary? Is it the fact that this is the father of your child? What is the reason that you are telling yourself in terms of why you're staying in this relationship? Because that's something too that you also need to be exploring. Another way to sort of reflect in terms of thinking about things is remembering who you were and what you were like before this relationship. What was going on with you? Because chances are, once you're involved in a relationship like this, you become a totally different person. You become lost in this relationship. And you might have also become very self-destructive, or you may not even recognize who you were. You might not even talk to the same people that you used to talk to or go out and engage in any hobbies. You might feel a lot more depressed and anxious and unsure of yourself now. You may have gained weight because you're so busy taking care of this person. And so with that being said, I would definitely recommend going to have a physical and checking up with your doctor just to make sure that things are okay with you physically and mentally in case you feel yourself going down that road. So those are some things that I would recommend in terms of you once you realize that you're in that relationship. Now, if you're wanting to leave that relationship, that's a different ballgame.
Okay, so that might require a different kind of set of strategies.
It definitely requires a different set of strategies. It may also require some additional support because and it can often be very dangerous because one of the ways that narcissists work in their relationships, it's almost like a parasitic relationship because they work by controlling and manipulating the relationship, and they don't want you to leave that relationship unless they're ready for you to leave that relationship. So if you leave before that, that's going to be a problem for them. And so you may want to have a safety plan in place for that. So you definitely want to have a place to go. You might want to have some money set aside. You definitely want to have a support system in place, people that you can trust that are not going to go back and divulge things about that, talking with your therapist. And, online support groups are also great. Facebook groups and things like that are also great. If you're thinking about it, but you're not quite ready to, or once you get out, but definitely doing things like that, and also changing things like passwords or getting a new phone number, or, just basically having anything that they can try to take, and manipulate or, mess with. You want to have that in a separate space or a safe space altogether. You definitely want to be aware of your surroundings, be aware of any small changes or things like that. Also be aware for the backlash, because there's a good chance they're going to spin out into a rage because they don't like it. And when someone spins out into a rage, they become very irrational and unpredictable, and they're going to do things to lash out because they want you to feel the pain that they feel. So they're going to do this by turning people against you. They may call your job and harass you there. They may, slash tires or break things, become physically destructive. They might start talking to your friends and other people who know you and telling them lies about you or things like that. So, and also become, like I said, physically destructive. So they may want to assault you. You might start getting a barrage of text messages or phone calls that are very verbally abusive.
Got it. So yeah, so that's when we would talk about, like you mentioned, working with a therapist to make sure you have a plan to kind of outline all of these things that would need to happen for you to be able to leave this relationship safely.
Correct.
So Nat, I'm also wondering, because it could also be the case that some people may be listening and recognize like, wow, I think I have a lot of these characteristics, right? Like I struggle with a lot of these things. So what kinds of strategies or tips would you offer somebody who kind of recognizes themselves in a lot of these symptoms?
You mean in terms of being a victim of narcissistic abuse?
No, actually being the narcissistic person themselves.
Joy, if a person recognizes themselves as being narcissistic, typically in my experience, they don't go to treatment unless they're mandated or unless they've gotten a big kick in the butt. A kick in the butt is usually like some sort of legal situation, or, there's a threat that someone is going to leave them or something like that. So if they're narcissistic, I would recommend that you go to a therapist that is specifically trained in working with that type of personality disorder, because, that is a different type of person than just your, and I'm not saying that other therapists aren't good or they're not qualified, but you definitely want someone who is trained in working with personality disorders, because they're working with folks that have strong implications of a personality disorder, that means that you also have to have very firm boundaries. And really and truly, you are a specialty because not everybody can do that. And narcissistic folks, they tend to lash out a lot, even with a clinician. So this is the person that is often very litigious and is threatening to sue, or again, gets into a rage when things don't go their way. They're very demanding. They may not respect your time. They may also not want to pay the bill for therapy as well. So they may try to skate out without paying bills and things like that. And so you want someone who is specifically trained in treating that. Again, also, what they may identify with, though, as opposed to wanting to admit that they have a personality disorder, is they may actually recognize that they have feelings of anxiety or depression. And it is true that a person with narcissistic personality disorder can have symptoms of anxiety and depression, and they'll often tend to minimize that. So they may seek out medication for that. But you definitely want someone who is trained in that. There's also, within treating that personality disorder, there's also specific sorts of treatment modalities that work well with that. There are some people who talk about empathy training. I personally don't use it. I think it's a waste of time because I don't think it's effective in training someone, trying to teach someone who has no empathy, but there are some people that prefer to do that. It's just not for me. What I found that works best in the folks that I work with is cognitive behavioral therapy, behavior modification, or even dialectical behavior therapy. And basically what all that means, those are fancy terms for basically having a person to look at their behavior and looking at the impact that acting on certain things is going to have for them. So I'm basically retraining them how to evaluate their behaviors and things that they can do instead of being destructive or instead of being malicious to other people.
Okay, so that is a really important distinction because, you know, one of the symptoms that you mentioned was like a lack of empathy. And right. It sounds like it's been your experience that trying to teach somebody that is difficult, but what you have found effective is helping them to understand like the consequences of their actions.
Correct.
Got it. Okay, that sounds good. So what are some of your other favorite resources, Nat? So you mentioned the HG Tutor books, but for other people who maybe want to read more about this or feel like they may be struggling with a parent or a loved one who is having some of these characteristics, what other books or resources do you really like?
I really like anything by Lundy Bancroft. Mm. Lundy has a lot of good books. Beverly Engel also has great books. And let's see here. I also have Dr. Susan Forward. She writes a book on toxic families and things like that. And so I love her stuff. And she's an oldie but goodie. Those are some. And of course, I have to recommend my podcast, right?
Because that's of course.
Narcissistic Abuse. So A Date with Darkness podcast, as well as my blog. I also write quite a few things and then do videos. And folks, there's also people, typically if you're in a relationship with a narcissistic person, a lot of people often suffer from coming from a narcissistic family or having a narcissistic parent. There's a book by Stephanie Donaldson Pressman. She wrote the book called The Narcissistic Family Diagnosis and Treatment. So that's also another good book. Harriet Lerner writes great books too. They're not about narcissism per se, but they are about very similar struggles that people who are victims of narcissistic relationships have. So The Dance with Anger, The Dance with Intimacy, and things like that. So she's written a few great books, and I don't mind sending those over to you so you can post that in your show notes, Joy.
Perfect. Yeah, I definitely would like those because I know people will be wanting to check a lot of this out to get more information.
Definitely. And then there's a good YouTube channel that I like. I'm going to be doing mine again when I have time. But another great person on YouTube that has a lot of great YouTube channels is Kim Saeed. And Saeed is spelled S-A-E-E-D. Kim Saeed, she has a really good channel on YouTube that talks a lot about narcissism as well.
Perfect. Thank you for that, Nat. Mm-hmm. So you already talked about your podcast that definitely people should check out because you do an excellent job of like talking about all of the different intricacies of what this looks like and how, you know, you can recognize some of this stuff. But are there any other announcements or things that you're planning that you want to share?
So I am planning on doing a conference. I'm hoping coming up soon. I haven't set a date for PESI, the psychological educational. They do psych educational trainings, and so I want to be doing some trainings for them. Me and some colleagues have talked about doing a summit, but nothing is set in stone yet. So a summit, which would be online and filled with like webinars and things like that. And so those are the only things that I have in the works that are kind of like swirling plans right now. I'm hoping to, you know, get my name out there a little bit more and write a book. Again, that's swirling in my head, but it hasn't come to fruition yet. So I'm hoping to have that stuff in the works no later than a couple months from now.
Okay. So is there a way for people to like get on your newsletter or sign up for your newsletter on your website so that they can kind of keep updated with all of the things you're going to be doing?
Oh yeah, for sure. DrNatalieJones.com. Again, okay. Yep, DrNatalieJones.com. So it's my name spelled out. And all of my social media handles and everything is up there. And, you know, I'm definitely on Facebook. And so a lot of times I'll do follow-up Facebook Lives with the guests that I have on my show. I definitely have the group, A Date with Darkness group, in which victims of narcissistic abuse can, you know, basically join and ask questions and talk to each other and offer support and be like a safe, supportive, healing space. So, yeah, that kind of stuff. Which you're an administrator of my group, so thank you for that.
You're right.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that is awesome information, Nat. And of course, all this will be included in the show notes for people to find easily so that they can check out all the information that you shared. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Nat.
Thank you so much for having me, Joy. It was a pleasure to be up here on your show and a long time in the making.
Absolutely. I'm glad we can make it happen.
Me too.
Thanks. I learned quite a bit during my conversation with Dr. Jones, and I hope that you did too. Please make sure to check out the resources that she shared, and be sure to check out her podcast. She covers topics that I'm pretty sure you won't find anywhere else. You can find all of that information at therapyforblackgirls.com/session53. If you'd like to continue the conversations we've started here on the podcast, make sure to join us over in the Facebook community at therapyforblackgirls.com/tribe. And if you're looking for a therapist in your area, be sure to check out the therapist directory at therapyforblackgirls.com/directory. Thank you so much to all of you who entered the giveaway and for all of your kind words about the 1-year anniversary of the podcast. I really appreciate it. The winners of the giveaway will be announced tomorrow, so be on the lookout for that. I hope you all have an amazing week, and I look forward to continuing this conversation with you all real soon. Take care.